promoting scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. We're included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Well, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. And greetings. This is Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. Today is April 9th, 2019. Welcome to the broadcast. Today we're going to talk a little bit, starting out, about China, Belt and Road Initiative. This is in the news again. It has been in the news actually almost every week for many months. But I posted an article this morning called Europe Embraces China's Belt and Road Initiative. And we need to talk about this a bit. Here's the deal. Europe has been associated with the United States for a long time. Certainly, as we rebuilt Europe after World War II, Europe has pretty much been, in trade-wise, in the pocket of the United States. This is changing now. China is coming from the east with their so-called Belt and Road Initiative. And it's being embraced by people in Europe. If successful, Europe would be the beneficiary of trade from both sides, and it would greatly enrich Europe. So they see that, and that's one reason they're moving towards China. So I wrote my comments, as a technocracy, China is driven to create infrastructure and develop the global supply chain, both of which are central to its Belt and Road Initiative. Europe is playing both sides of the fence with America on one hand and China on the other. This is the new reality of global trade. But it's worth talking about Belt and Road just for a minute, just to remind everybody what the deal is here. The old ancient Silk Road that connected the East with Europe has long since come and gone, of course. But it was a tremendous trade benefit once upon a time, and China has a vision to recreate that again through shipping traffic like over the sea, over rail, over highways, freeways, over digital communications as well. And so it's seeking to open up an unrestricted trade route between China and Europe, with all countries in between being part of the Belt and Road program. Now, China has done a lot to develop its infrastructure for this, and it's asking countries to contribute to its development fund, and it's issuing loans and grants to various projects and stuff up and down this Belt and Road Initiative zone, if you will, and so it's growing leaps and bounds. Well, China is a technocracy. It still has the trappings, of course, some of the signage in its flag talking about a communist dictatorship, but that's gone. That's history now. China has morphed into a technocracy. As such, technocracy is an economic system, not a political system. In order to understand Belt and Road, you must understand that technocracy is about the economy. Who was it? Bill Clinton has said, is the economy stupid? China knows that in order to develop a global technocracy, it must dominate the global economic scene. And so this is exactly what Belt and Road is all about. Creating infrastructure, number one. Creating trade, number two. And negotiating itself into a position of being the dominant economic leader in the world. If it comes to this point, it will literally be able to enforce technocracy on the whole planet. And we already know that China is committed to sustainable development, a la United Nations. and everything it's doing along the way is promoting the green agenda. I'll read one paragraph from the article. The Chinese BRI, that's Belt and Road Initiative, megaproject kicked off in 2014 with the ambitious goal of integrating trade between China and Europe by sea and by land, in the process incorporating all the countries in between. The idea, as a natural consolidation of trade, is to shorten the delivery times of goods by rail and integrate sea routes. The project covers not only ports and rail lines, but also, catch this, the construction of technological infrastructure to achieve global interconnectivity using the 5G technology developed by Chinese tech giant Huawei. There you have it. Electronic infrastructure is just as important to the Chinese as is the actual physical railroad line, for instance, that will deliver goods to Europe and vice versa. Huawei wants to be the global leader in 5G communications. So far, it has a lead by far. And Germany and France, the largest economic units in Europe, have already committed to using Huawei to develop their 5G infrastructure. Whoever ends up controlling the 5G infrastructure around the world will literally dominate the so-called Internet of Things. And the Internet of Things, of course, is integral to the supply chain. You say, well, how is that? Okay, I'll give you an idea. When a train or a truck moves through a checkpoint, considering that its inventory is now on an electronic chip embedded in the inventory container itself, that vehicle will simply move through the checkpoint, deliver its manifest instantly in real time to a sensor, which in turn will report all the data back to the central computer. This means that goods and services can move at high speed, not have to slow down, completely efficient, and everything is known from the beginning to the end. Every unit of everything in that shipment can be tracked discreetly. The article goes on to say, both Germany and Italy have confirmed that they want to rely on Huawei for the implementation and management of 5G traffic, which is fundamental to a world dominated by the Internet of Things. Very important article. Very important to understand the BRI and what China is trying to do with it. Next up is an interesting story, again from Asia, called Facial Recognition is Coming to Hotels, making check-in easier but a little bit creepier. Well, hotels are being built now with technology from the ground up. Sometimes they're being retrofitted into smart hotels. Can you imagine a smart hotel where everything in the hotel is controlled by apps, like on your smartphone, artificial intelligence, and robots? Ostensibly, I guess maids probably will still have a job to make up rooms after somebody stays, but that's about the only employees of consequence at these new hotels. And facial recognition is the ticket to VIP treatment. Now, this has come about thanks to companies like Alibaba. It actually has created the hotel of the future, it says, and it's wild, wonderful, and just a little creepy. FlyZoo is the name of it, FlyZoo, F-L-Y-Z-O-O, which is reportedly a Chinese pun for must stay. I guess so, yeah, as you say, FlyZoo, you must stay there. Good marketing name. It's a 290-room, ultra-modern boutique hotel in Hangzhou, China. It lets guests pay with technology and check in with ease. Just show your face, that's all. You walk in the door, you move up to a camera. Hello, Mr. Smith. Welcome, welcome back, or welcome for the first time, whatever. Your room such and such is ready for you. And this all only costs around $200, maybe a little more, to get a room in FlyZoo. But everything is automated. They have robots that deliver food to your room, food in the restaurants. You need new towels, more towels or whatever, a little robot shows up at the door. And they have a device in the room that's similar to Alexa in America that you simply speak to it and it does anything you want in the room. It can draw your blinds. It can order food. You can turn on the TV, check the temperature, all that kind of stuff. Just ask the genie what you want, and it'll be appearing shortly. Interesting that the first paragraph of this, the writer being a little bit on the cynical side, says that China lets guests pay with technology, check in with ease, and spend the night for a future at a low price of around $205 dash at the cost of your privacy. Bingo. I don't know if the author was actually a Chinese citizen, but if the social credit scoring system gets a hold of this, they probably are going to get a ding for saying something possibly negative about this wonderful new completely automated hotel. I don't know if you'd like to stay in a hotel like this. I guess it would be kind of a curious thing just to try it, but yeah, at the cost of your privacy, they will be harvesting every little shred of information about you as you move about during your stay, what you ask for, what your preferences are. They'll have a complete psychographic profile of you by the time you're out the door. I'm not sure if it'd be worth it. You can imagine this is coming to America. One day, there will be an automated hotel in America too, and they may not call it FlyZoo because that's kind of an odd name for an American hotel. But in China, that means must stay, must stay. I don't think I'll take them up on it personally. The last story deserves a little bit of extra attention. The headline is Rockefeller Foundation to disband 100 Resilient Cities project and lay off its staff. Now, that doesn't mean they had 100 cities and they were teaching them resilience, but this is the actual name of a project. It was the acronym was 100RC, 100RC, 100 Resilient Cities project. It was sponsored by the Rockefeller Foundation. Yes, that's the Rockefeller Foundation, like as in David and Nelson Rockefeller. They've both passed, of course, but there are progeny that is still in control of it, still moving forward and doing stuff. And it has been completely steeped in sustainable development for the last several years. And this project that they've had going for some time, the 100RC or 100 Resilient Cities, worked with cities around the world to help them build in resilience. Now, that's the United Nations concept of sustainable development, resilience. I'm not going to explain resilience right now in great any detail, but just to say that the Rockefeller Foundation has been involved in sustainable development for as long as it's been around. That's not surprising considering that David Rockefeller started the Trilateral Commission with Zbigniew Brzezinski back in 1973. And the Trilateral Commission picked up on the idea of technocracy early on, passed it to the United Nations under the name Sustainable Development. But it is technocracy. I explained that and documented in my book, by the way, called Technocracy, the Hard Road to World Order. So the Rockefeller Foundation is controlled by the Rockefeller family, which was headed by its patriarch, David Rockefeller, for many years. And they were the people that that brought forward sustainable development in the first place. Now, the headline that was given sort of says that, well, the Rockefeller Foundation is suffering some kind of a defeat here, that they're going to, oh my gosh, they're going to disband their 100RC project and lay off all the staff. But you have to read down the story, folks, to see this is not an admission of defeat whatsoever. They had achieved their objectives with the 100 Resilient Cities, and they're simply reallocating their resources to other areas. And they don't tell exactly what all those areas are in this article, but it may come out in time that if it's interesting, I'll report on it. But the second paragraph is most interesting because it says Rockefeller will shift some of its resilient funding to the Atlantic Council, a Washington-based think tank with a $30 million grant. So they're giving $30 million to the Atlantic Council. And the Atlantic Council is going to run with the ball for a while. And they've issued a press release on that already, and that's official. And it said Rockefeller also announced a $12 million grant to allow continued support and transition time to the 100 Resilient Cities Network through much of 2019. Now, the Atlantic Council, this is what I want to talk about here. The Atlantic Council is a hotbed of Trilateral Commission members. It always has been, even back in 1973. There was an incredible overlap of membership between the Trilateral Commission and the Atlantic Council. So I went and looked at the current directors and management of Atlantic Council today. That's at atlanticcouncil.org if you want to look it up. And sure enough, there are still a host of board members and stuff that are members of the Trilateral Commission as well. Well, I'll just go down the list here and give you some. Brent Scowcroft, one of the original members. He's the chairman emeritus of the Atlantic Council. And just looking down through the list, we have Joseph Nye, who is also on the executive committee of the Trilateral Commission. And he's also president of the Council on Foreign Relations. How about that? Here's another one. Paula Dobrianski. Dina Powell. Yeah. Wolfgang Issinger. And here's a good one. You'll recognize this name. Henry Kissinger. Well, there's been a few others as well. But you get the idea. The Atlantic Council has been walking hand in hand with the Trilateral Commission ever since 1973. And now they're exchanging money back and forth again. So the Atlantic Council will be receiving a huge windfall grant from the Rockefeller Foundation to continue the work on resilience around the world, leaving the Rockefeller Foundation to go off and do some other nefarious thing. You don't know what that is yet, but they will not give up in their program to convert the world or subvert the world into sustainable development. We'll see how that works out. At the end of this article, it's interesting that Andrew Brenner, spokesman for the 100 Resilient Cities, said by email that Monday was a tough day. That's in quotes, a tough day. And he continues, quote, this morning our staff of 86 was informed that their last day would be July 30. Well, July 31, 2019. Myself included, with severance following, Brenner said by email. He said he believed that the change would result in the closure of the organization's offices in New York City, Mexico City, London, and Singapore. This was no small operation, was it? And that doesn't mean that the Rockefeller Foundation is closing its offices. It you almost could read it that way if you read too quickly. No, it's just this group of 86. They're the ones losing their jobs. And if I know anything about the Rockefeller Foundation, they will find other places within their organization or perhaps within the Atlantic Council for every one of these people to find a nice, cozy, cushy job where they can continue to promote all the things surrounding sustainable development. If you haven't had a chance to read my book, Technocracy, The Hard Road to World Order, this would be a good time to do it. Again, Americans need to connect the dots here and find out who really is behind all the stuff that's going on today. What's behind the Green New Deal and AOC and the Justice Democrats? Where'd this stuff come from? Where's it headed? What's the purpose of it? Who started the global warming meme in the first place? Why does that matter? Who's pushing it? Who's funding it? Is it real or is it phony? These are questions that have no intuitive, immediate answer. But the documentation in my book will give you proof positive on questions like this. The other thing is that I'll just mention in passing is that if you would be kind enough to support Technocracy News and Trends and this podcast in any way, you can head over to patreon.com/technocracy and make a small pledge. Even $2 a month would be wonderful. The only support that we get is through our readers like you. We don't sell advertising. You will notice that on our website especially. You won't be plagued by ads that pop over, pop in, pop up, go sideways, repeat. A lot of sites do that because they can make some money at it. But those kind of sites aggravate me, and I know that they aggravate a lot of you as well. So we are a reader and listener-based website, and it's going to stay that way. So if you can help just a little bit, even consider making even a $2 pledge. You can make more, of course, $5, $10, whatever, it'd be great. But at least put your name on the line and join with us. We'll walk this whole thing down the road together. I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. Have a great day.